105. City Talk 105.9.
City Talk 105.9, this is the home of great music and great conversation. It has just gone 2 o'clock on this lovely Monday, actually. The fog has lifted. It's looking beautiful here over Liverpool, across the Mersey, all the way to Wirral. And, actually, no, I can't see North Wales, but never mind. I can see my guest for this hour on Take 5, who is Laura Critchley, who's actually, I wonder if we could see Laura's home. She's from Ellesmere Port. That's always swathed in fog anyway, Ellesmere Port, or kind of a chemical fog at least anyway. So we shall find out if we can see it later. But Laura, first of all, thank you for joining me on Take 5.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Will.
As you know, Laura, this is a show that kind of puts people into an unpleasant metaphorical situation, which is that your house is on fire and you have just about enough time to go and grab five records from the flames, and also some of the bits and pieces as well. We're going to find out which five records you would save from the flames over the course of the next hour between now and 3 o'clock, and there's a lot of power balladry going on. I like it. You've got some power chords. Is that sort of your musical influence?
Oh yeah, I am an absolute cheesemonger. I love power ballads. I love old 80s rock stuff.
Yeah. How did you get into the music game originally? Tell us about where you started.
Well, I started here. Started gigging around pubs in Liverpool and Birkenhead when I was 15. Mm. And then I started writing my own stuff when I was about 16. And I was giving my first play, actually, from Radio Merseyside with Billy Butler. Yeah, he played my first song, oh God, which was actually rubbish now when I look
back. What was it called?
It was called Change. It was about my best friend. And, yeah.
You're a bit young for writing a song about the change, aren't you? Oh, no, yeah. Not that change, different one.
But, no, it was played by those guys, and then I just thought, I might have another go at this, so I kept on writing, and, yeah, they kept on being played.
And what sort of pubs were you? Yeah, name check a few pubs. Where were you performing as a 15-year-old?
I played at the Pilgrim.
Yeah?
I played, at every pub in Birkenhead, and in Bebbington, the George. I played, I actually never played at my local pub, which is the Red Lion in Little Sutton. Jackie, why didn't you give me a gig?
That takes some guts, though, doesn't it, for a 15-year-old girl to stand up in front of a pub audience who could be rowdy, I guess, could be drunk, or, you know, like a lot of pub audiences might be more interested in the football and the fruit machine than hearing music and actually performing, was it?
Yeah,
did you get a warm reception?
It was so hard at first. When I started pub gigging, I thought it was going to be really glamorous, you know, but when I actually started lifting my own speakers, put them in my car and, you know, going around everywhere, and sometimes I'd turn up and it literally would be like to one man and his dog, and it was a bit soul destroying at first, but I think once you get through that and then you start getting a little following, it's well worth it, and then that's what, you know, kind of egged me on to move to London.
And how long have you been in the big smoke now?
I've been there 3.5 years.
So that would be, because you were signed to your first record label about 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago to the day, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And actually, the number of people you've worked with in that 3 years, which is a fairly short time, really, in the music biz. A lot of people slog their guts out for ages, but you've worked with Sugar Babes, supported them. You've recorded with Robbie Williams. You've supported Ray Quinn, Boyzone, Deacon Blue. I mean, that's not a bad repertoire already, is it?
Yeah, when people read it back to me, it's like, oh, you know, it sounds really good. And if someone would have said, oh, you're going to achieve this in 3 years, I'd be really happy. But because I'm in it, I'm like in the eye of the storm. I can't actually see what's going on. So I'm always looking for the next thing and thinking, oh, you know, I'm not doing good enough. I'm really hungry for it.
Is that right? Do you sort of beat yourself up and kind of...
Yeah, with a big stick.
Does it get you down sometimes? Do you look at other artists and think, you know, I want what they've got?
No, I never think I want what they've got, because I am really happy being me, and I love writing my songs and stuff, but sometimes I wish the industry would change, yeah.
To recognise what?
To recognise rock music and sometimes a bit of country as well. I feel like the UK don't really get into the old, you know, rock thing. And
well, what do you describe yourself as?
I'd say first album was pop country, and now I've moved a little bit more into a rocky territory, which I've always loved, which anyone that's seen me around the pubs and clubs knew that I was doing, you know, when I was 15, 16. So, yeah.
Were you like a rock chick with like a Motorhead t-shirt and stuff?
No, I didn't have a Motorhead t-shirt. No, it was kind of like, I like all me Blondie, me Roxette and Bonnie Tyler. In fact, I seen Bonnie Tyler last week. She was brilliant at the Albert Hall.
Yeah.
So I was like that kind of rock chick, you know what I mean? Back combing me hair.
Yeah, like back to the power balladry, I guess.
Yeah.
Back combing your hair, but actually at least washing it, whereas proper rock chicks wouldn't. They just rub some like Castrol GTX to it.
And I still like, you know, eat food.
Yes, which is good to know. In fact, we know you like biscuits as well, because you sent me on a special mission to get some biscuits, which I'll go and get during your first song, which is by someone you just mentioned. Before we do that, though, I think to put you in context, we should play one of yours, which is, this, I guess, it's called Sometimes I, and it's from, I guess, a more poppy Laura Critchley.
Yeah, I wrote this song probably over 3 years ago now. And it's a pop tune. I wish Sophie Ellis Bextor would sing it, actually, because it was really it was really sickly sweet when I was singing it. And
that's really funny you should say that. Maybe other people have told you already, but it did. I thought of Sophie Ellis Bextor when I heard it. Yeah, not in a negative way. Not like that's a rip off. It just did have that Ellis Bextor sound about it.
But I can't slag it because it's the song that got me signed. So, you know, it's done me well.
And it was penned by you, was it, or by someone else?
It was me and David Whitmey.
Yeah. All the more reason to want Sophie Ellis Bextor to do it. She can shift a few units and make you some money as well.
Exactly. Now you're thinking.
Let's have a listen, shall we? City Talk 105.9. This is not, I should say, a record that Laura Critchley has saved. She wouldn't be so bold, I'm sure, as to save one of her own records from her burning home. But it is one that I'm just going to play anyway. Sometimes I, and we'll hear it now. City Talk 105.9, that is Laura Critchley and Sometimes I. Laura, that's good stuff, though. I'm enjoying that.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
You sound surprised.
Well, yeah, because it's cheesy pop.
Yeah, but there's a place for cheesy pop, isn't there?
Yeah, there is actually, yeah. There is here.
We'll have to find some of your rockier stuff to play later on.
Yeah, because I'm just writing constantly at the minute. I've got like about 1,000 rock tunes to come out with next year.
I've got to say as well, I've got to be careful what I say here, because your fellow Joe is in the studio sitting quietly over there. But I like the video for that one as well that you did. When you're sort of prancing along the beach, if anyone wants to go onto YouTube and see Laura in that. Did the police ever catch the person who stole your top? Because you had to fashion one, didn't you? It looked like you'd got like a neckerchief off a local Boy Scout and kind of just knotted it around and done what you could with it. Did they catch the person?
I hope so. I don't know. What was I wearing?
He's probably selling it on eBay, actually, as we speak. I'm sure you could track it down in conversation with Laura Critchley. I'll have it. City Talk 105.9 is the station. This is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, trying to avoid getting a cuff around the ear from Laura Critchley or Joe and find out as well which 5 records she would save from her home if it was on fire. Your first one, we are going to play it now, Laura, is a bit of Blondie. You mentioned earlier a massive Blondie fan. Which one have you gone for?
I've picked Call Me. I've picked this one because I like them all, really. But I thought Call Me is quite relevant for me because going forward, I'm calling myself Call Me Laura because no one could pronounce my surname in radio interviews.
No one
everyone
could.
Used to
I
call
can.
Me Crotchley or Crutchley. So I'm like,
that's
you know
just
what?
A Freudian slip.
And I kept on saying to everyone, oh, just call me Laura. Seriously, just call me Laura. So I just thought, yeah, I'm going to go forward as Call Me Laura with my band as well. And just so happens to be a song called Call Me. And I love Blondie. I just love everything about her. I love the way she looks. I love the way she is on stage. She's just dead cool.
What kind of
big cheekbones as well. And I'm
she
a big
has
fan
got,
of that.
Yeah, I saw her at the Echo Arena last year, actually. And she's still got cheekbones.
She has, hasn't she?
Which, considering at her age, most of them don't even have hip bones. To have cheekbones is a fantastic achievement.
Could be implants, maybe.
Yeah, the hips or the cheeks.
Yeah, the cheeks.
Or both. It is Blondie, anyway, before I get into any more trouble with our greying listener, City Talk 105.9. It is Call Me by Blondie, and it is the first choice from Laura Critchley. Let's have a listen. City Talk 105.9, that's Blondie and Call Me, the first choice of my guest on today's Take 5, who is Laura Critchley, the Ellesmereport singer-songwriter who is taking us through the 5 records she would save from her burning home. See, I can pronounce Critchley.
Well done. Yeah, not many people can.
Well, I'm not really going to accept congratulations for being able to pronounce a two-syllable word. Are you going to name and shame anyone that can't pronounce the word Critchley?
Oh, there's been loads. I think Pete Price has actually called me Crotchley before now and Real Fun in the Sun, yeah.
Real? Yeah. Blimey, that sounds like an email address as well and a half. Critchley, not a very showbiz name, is it? But I assume it's your real name.
It's not, but you know when you think of like other names that are out there? Like, I know Blunt isn't that exotic, is it?
No.
Because I was thinking that when it first came out. I didn't want my name. And then my manager's got 2 managers. Hi, Andrew. Hi, Jeremy.
2?
Yeah. 2 to handle
me. That's like my 2 dads. They fight over you?
No, I wish they did. No, I think they're happy that I'm up in Liverpool.
Yeah.
But no, I think Critchley is just one of those names where I think, you know, if suddenly I had a number one, no one would question it, would they?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I suppose when you think of someone like Robbie Williams, who I know you've worked with, and we'll speak about him, I mean, that's a fairly sort of humdrum, normal British name, isn't it? And I guess Critchley as well. Critchley has that great sort of Lancashire feel about it as well.
It? Apparently it's Irish, but...
Is it?
Yeah. I haven't really met any other, you know, Critchleys that are from Ireland, but apparently it is Irish.
No, it sounds to me like you should be, you know, baking bread in Chorley or something like that, making one of those raisin-based cakes. You're singing and you are working, as I say, with Robbie, and also you've worked with Boyzone. We'll talk about that very shortly because that's your next track, but you also get to save a film from this metaphorical fire we've put you in as well, Laura, and you have gone for, you did say you're a cheesemonger, The Wedding Singer.
It's just the best film ever. It just is. I just love it. Have you seen it?
I have seen it. It was a long time ago. For those who haven't seen it,
It's Adam Sandler at his best, and I love Adam Sandler anyway. It's an 80s film. He's an 80s wedding singer, and he gets his heart broken because he stood up at his own wedding. And it's like a love story between him and Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
And, oh, it's brilliant. All the songs in it are amazing. I know all the script off by heart. I can just say it all the way through.
And it's weird because, although it's, as you say, it's an 80s, it's set in the 80s, but it was made in the late 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's almost
at the start of that. Nowadays, everything from the 80s is being revived. But this was 10 years ago that Adam Sandler kind of almost predicted the trend that there would be an 80s revival.
Yeah, I thought like that. Yeah.
Not right until now.
Yeah.
I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. But, yeah, it's great. It's a great film to save, and a good bit of cheese and some fine moments in it as well. Have you sang at weddings?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that all part of this sort of apprenticeship?
I don't anymore, but yeah, I did sing at a few weddings, a few 50ths and birthdays, whilst I was still living around here. I enjoy corporate dues. I love singing, so I don't mind, you know, lending my hand to loads of different things like that, you know.
It does seem
I was singing on a boat the other weekend on the Thames for my manager's sister's 50th, so.
Fantastic. Yeah. And you've sung for Ferrari, haven't you, over in Abu Dhabi?
I did, yeah.
How did that come about?
That was just, through someone finding out about me on MySpace, and they just emailed my manager and just said, you know, would Laura come over here and sing for the event? And I did, and I'm going. Apparently, I'm meant to be going out there again for some kind of Formula One thing. But it was great. I loved it out there.
Yeah, excellent.
Everything was so clean and like gold. I felt rich.
Yeah, it's because everything's clean because they only made it last week. That's Abu Dhabi, built in 2008. I write for a newspaper over there, so I'll tell you which one it is off there, and you can bring me a copy back because I still haven't seen it. Anyway, enough about me. We do have to move on to your next track because we've got five to get through. Second one, this has taken on a rather sad resonance since you chose it. It's No Matter What by Boyzone, who, of course, you work with. A year ago, you were supporting them on their big sort of arena
comeback tour. Yeah, I picked this one because I used to watch the lads every night. Obviously, I was on tour with them. And, I used to sit and eat my dinner with them every night, and I've known Ronan for a while now. And I just picked it for Stephen, really, because I'm totally in shock still from that.
His is the vocal on this, isn't it? Because normally Ronan leads the songs, but this one was Stephen's.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, he used to come out singing this, and they used to fly across the audience. So every Boyzone fan will know what I'm talking about. And Stephen loved it. And every night when he was on stage on the comeback tour, he was just like, he had so much canned heat in him. You know, everyone used to call him Little Leprechaun because he just couldn't stop jumping up and down. He was so happy to be back.
What were they like? You know, how would you describe the five of them? Because I think people often assume they've got the same personality, don't they? You know, just a nice young Irishman. But was one of them more like the joke of the pack? Was one of them quieter?
They were all different. I find Ronan's like the dad, like looks after them. He's quite serious, you know, focused. Stephen is like the little kid. Well, he was like the little kid, running around, doing the practical jokes, making everyone laugh, and just getting really overexcited about everything. Yeah, so, and all the others were great as well. I mean, Keith was just a bit of a tearaway. You know, we'd walk into a bar, he'd walk behind the bar, stop, pour himself a pint. Just
you can get choked out for that.
Just because he worked at the Rovers.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah.
Shane, I've known since I was 16 from a TV show I did around here. He's just sexy and cool. Sorry, Joe.
He's the tattooed one, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the tattooed one. Yeah, everyone fancies him. And Mikey is like a songwriter. He's always got a guitar in his hand.
Is he? Because I always just thought he was a roadie that had wandered onto the stage.
He'd kill you. No, he's always, always given like musical influences and always got the guitar in his hand, always singing away. Yeah, no one sees that side of him really, but yeah, he's very musical.
Well, it's a fine reason to choose your second song, Laura, after supporting them back in July last year and, of course, losing Stephen just last month, wasn't it? City Talk 105.9 is the station. It's the second choice of Laura Critchley, who is my guest on Take 5 today, and it is Boyzone, No Matter What. City Talk 105.9, that's Boyzone and No Matter What. The second choice of my guest on today's Take 5, who is Laura Critchley. Got three more records still to come from her, including a couple of those power ballads I promised you at the start. That is still to come on City Talk 105.9. Don't go anywhere, back in a couple of minutes.
This is Take 5, City Talk 105.9.
Yes, indeed, City Talk 105.9 is the station. It is the home of great music and great conversation. And both of those this hour come courtesy of Laura Critchley, the Ellesmereport singer-songwriter, who joins me in the studio right now, and she's here until 3 o'clock to take us through the five records she would save from A Burning Home. Already had two of them, Call Me by Blondie and No Matter What by Boyzone. Going to get to the third one very shortly, Laura. Before we do, though, you have to save a photograph from the flames as well, and you've gone for one, which I guess harks back to the song we just played, you and the lads from Boyzone.
Yeah, there's one photo of all of us lot together just before they went on stage. So I'd just come off stage sweating my bum off, and Andrew, my manager, was like, let's get a photo. So it's just me sweating with them lot around me, and it's just a really nice photo. Check it out on the Facebook if you're online.
Yeah, it's check out a sweaty Laura Critchley,
sweaty shot of the Critch.
You're using Facebook and Twitter and mm-hmm. the online platform a lot. I mean, I guess that's part and parcel of being a 21st century artist, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great because it gives the control back to us as well. Mm. It is great, and hardly anyone checks the website anymore, because they just want to see you on Facebook. I think they know that Facebook, you're checking it more and it's more personal to you.
Mm, absolutely. What is your website address, just for those who are still old-fashioned enough to want to visit such a fuddy-duddy thing?
Yeah, it's got all my old videos on it. It's www.lauracritchley.com.
You haven't changed it to Call Me Laura yet, then?
No. If you log on to callmelaura.com, you'll be redirected.
Oh, there you go.
That.
So you got the name. Yeah. That's the main thing. I should say as well, by the way, that we don't normally let people save a portrait of themselves, because most people don't have portraits of themselves, but you've got several, haven't you, by an artist that you support, Maddie Murthwaite?
I have, yeah. She's a fantastic artist. She's just opened a gallery up in Clayton Square on the upper level. Go and check it out. She's done four paintings of me, so I'm getting behind her. She knows the way to my heart, painting me. I love painting. I did A-level art myself.
Do you have to sit for her for hours on end?
No, she did it without me knowing. She took the pictures off Facebook.
Oh, like a stalker, like a portrait stalker.
Yeah, she is. She is a stalker. She'd tell you that herself. But she's brilliant. She's got her own gallery going. It's all in aid of fibromyalgia. Hmm. She really is a real good local talent. Check her out.
Fantastic. Not too far to go from here as well. Second floor, Clayton Square, did you say?
Yep. There all you our go. Paintings are
I
down
could start
there.
A new trend. I'm thinking like a portrait paparazzi. You hide in the bushes with an oil paint, set of oils and a canvas.
You have to hope that they, got a deck chair and sat there for a while you painted them.
Yeah. Hold still, love. Just be there a couple of hours. There you go. That is the photograph that you're going to save, or indeed the portrait. Third song, Laura. I did promise people power balladry, and I think I better deliver something before they start failing to believe me. Bonnie Tyler, why this one? And which one, indeed?
This song. Total eclipse of the heart. This has been one of my favourite songs from a little girl. I love Bonnie Tyler. I love her voice. And a lot of people say that I've got a lot of the rasp in my voice like her. Mm. I've seen her perform a few times. I was watching her at the Albert Hall last week. She really is an amazing performer and vocalist. She's great. And she's just nutty as well, which I love about her. She's Welsh and she's nutty. She's great.
I did promise people that they should maybe get their hairbrushes out for a bit of singing in front of the mirror on today's Take 5. And I'm going to deliver on that promise now, because we are going to play the third choice of Laura Critchley on Take 5 on City Talk 105.9. It is Miss Bonnie Tyler, back from 1983. Total Eclipse of the Heart. Get a load of this. You got to get that last bit out, haven't you? City Talk 105.9. In the old swirling wind, and then turn around bright eyes. Is that about the bunny from Watership Down, or have I missed a reference there?
It was on that show, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course.
In fact, my auntie drew one of the rabbits for that show.
Just one of them?
Yeah.
You'd have thought whoever drew one rabbit for Watership Down would have drawn all of them.
I think she did the general, the guy.
Do you know, I've never seen it.
Oh, haven't you? Oh, you have to check it out, yeah. Very talented. Go.
Laura Critchley, not just a singer-songwriter, but the niece of the woman who drew one of the rabbits from Watership Down. You should put that on your website. That'd get the traffic flowing, I guarantee
it. That's what you'd say. I need to employ you.
There you go. I've got a mind. Bonnie Tyler, that was in Total Eclipse of the Heart, the third choice of Laura Critchley, as I've just described, niece of the Watership Down artist, or one, at least one of them. Got two more songs still to come from you, including another one, which I think is on a level with that in terms of sort of power balladry and sort of camp rock. And there's nothing wrong with a little bit of camp rock, is there, Laura?
Oh, nothing at all. Sometimes I feel like moving to America to get into me camp rock a bit more, because we don't play enough of it here.
I think that the reason I got into more sort of power ballads and campness recently, I guess, was when I bought Guitar Hero. Are you a fan of Guitar Hero?
We were playing the Beatles one the other week, weren't we? We love it.
What about SingStar? Because I bet you know, beat people at that generally.
SingStar? No, I've never played SingStar.
Never?
No, that's not the same thing. I've played Rockstar. Is that the one?
I think Rockstar is probably a version of SingStar. It's the one where you sing into the microphone.
Oh, no, I sing in this Rockstar one. Yeah. I do it singing all the Beatles songs, yeah. And a few like Bon Jovi and, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
I know you started out in the pubs and clubs of Birkenhead and Liverpool, as you told us, but did it go before that? Did you sing in a church choir, or did you sing at school, or did your mum and dad sort of encourage you into music?
You know, you're dead right. I started in my church choir when I was 8, stayed there for 7 years.
Mm. Which church was that?
That was St. Paul's Church in Little Sutton.
Are you still welcome back, or have they seen the video for Sometimes Iron?
No, do you know what? I've never been back. I used to go there every Sunday at like 9 o'clock and until like 1 o'clock. We'd practice for hours and hours. But now it's great because all my friends are getting married and I'm there just singing away. I know all the words. I don't even have to look at the book.
I'm another church chorister, ex-church chorister. I don't do it anymore.
Oh, really?
But we used to get paid as well to do them. You used to get a pound a wedding. And on a Saturday in the summer, they'd rack up. You get like eight weddings and then go £8. That's a lot of
pennies. Yeah, I used to get 50p a service, yeah. It was great.
I think Mum used to send us
She didn't have to give us pocket money.
And what about the school? Because you've done the school's tour as well, haven't you? Which is almost an obligatory part now of kind of grafting and making it as an artist. What's it like doing...
Oh, we went on the road for about a month and a half and we did 3 schools a day. So like morning, lunch and after school. Yeah, it was hard work, that. It really was, because you get some kids that just don't want to listen, do you know what I mean? Whereas I had a great boy band at Wirral Grammar where I went to school, and they were called Ultra, and they all had blonde hair and they all came in and jumping around on stage. And I tell you what, we never had a band after that because we went wild, you know, because we loved it so
much. Too many hormones flying around.
It was so weird. I was doing a gig in London a year ago, and who turns up?
Ultra.
The drummer from Ultra. I couldn't believe it. He turned up at a gig, and I don't know how we got talking about it, but I just found out that he was in a band called Ultra. I was like, I've got all your singles. You came to my school. I felt like I was about 5 years old again.
It would have been better if he turned up with the lads, like still plugging away at it.
Yeah.
You know, all of them like 35 and fat and bald. And
I would go and see their comeback tour. Really would.
Ultra,
get back on the road, Ultra.
Come on, Ultra. It's about time. We've had Spandau Ballet and Kajagoogoo reunions. We need an Ultra reunion. We've got some more music still to come from Laura Critchley, including. I'm going to say actually, it's a bit of darkness coming up. We've never had it before on this show, but there's a first time for everything, and I personally love them. Speaking of local bands, though, before we get to some more national ones, you're supporting a group called Just as well, aren't you?
I'm not supporting them as in singing.
Not
for them. But I've come back up north because I like to see my family and I like to go and see my favourite bands, and one of them is a band called Just, and it's Barry and Matty, so give them a shout out.
Where are they playing?
They were playing at the Red Lion last Friday, so I went and checked them out.
And more to the point, where are you playing next? When's your next Liverpool gig?
I have my next gig in the Philharmonic Hall on the 30th of January. It's a gig, there's a few of us doing it. It's for Help for Heroes, which is a great cause. I support the troops. I was out in Basra in February singing for them. So if you haven't got your ticket yet, come on down. It's going to be a brilliant night. There's loads of acts on. And I'm playing, so you got to come down.
Great cause. And you get to see Laura as well. That's like one of those things where I can't remember what the word is when it's good in two ways. But basically, you get to support a charity and you get to go and see Laura Critchley as well. What's that like going to see the soldiers, by the way, out in Basra? Because that's, in some ways, I guess, a tough gig.
Yeah, that's probably the most bizarre thing I've ever done in my life. I couldn't believe it. You know, landing in the middle of the night on a Hercules, going in zigzags, you know, to avoid the enemies, yeah. And you don't know which way you land.
Did you have to sit on your helmet to avoid the flak coming up through the belly of the plane or the helicopter?
I sat with the pilots, actually.
Safest place to be, yeah.
Yeah. And I was stood up, actually, in the cockpit. It was a pretty good experience.
And how long were you there for?
I was there for 3 days. Yeah, 3 days.
I'm not sure, with the greatest respect, you're a very beautiful woman. I'm not sure they should be sending beautiful women out to entertain the troops. It must be so frustrating. You're out there in the desert with a load of blokes, you know, people shooting at you, and then they send some hot star over for a couple of days and then whisk her away.
No, I thought I was going to go down better than I did. You know, I thought I was going to have, you know, a few people trying to cop off with me, but I didn't. I didn't pull once.
They're very disciplined.
Yeah, no, do you know what? They were really, really polite, and the girls and the lads out there were just a bloody good laugh, really good.
Yeah. There is women over there now, of course. I was being sexist and thinking of, like, the Crimean War or something like that. Laura, if people want to see you, they can get the tickets to that. Presumably, what, through the Help the Heroes website or your website?
Yeah, Philharmonic. I'll put a link up on my website as well, but if you just type in Help for Heroes, Laura Critchley, and Google, you'll find the tickets there.
Great. We're running out of time, so in a nutshell, which book are you going to save from the flames?
Chartthrob, Ben Elton. It just exposes everything about X Factor. It's brilliant. You've got to buy it.
Are you a fan of X Factor? Can you see the fun in it, or do you think it's sucking the life out?
I can see the fun in it, but I just also just, you know, it's just a total waste of time as well. Do you know what I mean? Watching that show, it's the same thing, you know, day in, day out. I can't go in for it because I haven't got a sob story that's good enough to get me into the top 10.
I'm sure we could make one up.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. What about Cowell? If Simon Cowell said to you, Laura, I want to sign you. Come and work for me and I'll mould you into a superstar, would you?
Well, what do you mean mould me? Take my own songs or take everything that he...
No, because you know Cowell wouldn't put out an original song.
I've met Cowell a couple of times as well because my manager's best friends with him. But no, I wouldn't.
What if you said you could do a Bonnie Tyler cover?
What, to kick it off?
Yeah.
Oh, of course I would, yeah.
There you go. You see, everyone's got their price, haven't they? Well, there you go. That's the book in the same chart.
Sort it out for me, Will.
Chartthrob by Ben Elton. And we're back in a couple of minutes here on City Talk 105.9 with Laura's two remaining song choices as well. Don't go anywhere. Back in a couple of minutes.
This is Take 5, City Talk 105.9.
Yes, indeed. Take 5 on City Talk 105.9 with me, Will Batchelor. The time has just gone 2:45. Doesn't time fly when you're having fun, Laura?
It does. I didn't think it was that late.
You have to say that, though, because you're a pro. You can hardly say, I'm not having that much fun. Stick around, because after 3 o'clock today, between 3 and 7, you've got Peter McDowell driving you home. The last hour of that show, as ever, 6 till 7, will be... City Talks football and build-up, of course, to tonight's match at Anfield. Liverpool hosting Birmingham City. Laura, do you have an allegiance?
I do, yeah. I'm a Red fan.
Okay.
I'm not a very good one, though, to be honest.
Did you know they were playing tonight?
No.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? I'm a Red fan, but I may as well not be.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's... I suppose...
Because my brother and my dad are, yeah.
That's okay. Do they go to the match or watch
My brother does, my dad doesn't, yeah.
Fair enough. Well, if they want to listen to the match tonight, the coverage is on City Talk 105.9 with John Aldridge and Chris Maliband for full match build-up, coverage and post-match analysis as well. That will be on before Peter Price takes over, as usual, at around 10, or sometimes they shift him back to 10:30. It's a whole radio schedule and thing. You don't need to worry about it. You do need to worry, however, Laura, about your next song, which is The Darkness, Believing
yes.
a Thing Called Love. Now, you have worked with Justin Hawkins, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm currently writing my second album with him. We're writing some songs for it. He's an absolute scream.
Yeah.
Love him to bits. He's brilliant.
That was such a breath of fresh air when they came through. They kind of...
I can't believe they did make it, to be honest. You know, here in the UK, it's, you know, they were trying for so long. And all the record labels turned them down.
I think there's two reasons, though. One is that, you know, they were fun and perhaps we needed it. It was a fairly sort of dark time, the early part of this decade, and perhaps we needed something fun and camp and silly. But also they were good as well, weren't they? It was good music.
I mean, the way he plays that guitar and sings as well, it's just unbelievable.
Okay, well, you had your hairbrush out earlier for Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart. Now you can get the air guitar out, because on City Talk 105.9, you've got to play along with this, haven't you? I Believe in a Thing Called Love, it's The Darkness. Sir, step away from the air guitar. City Talk 105.9, Take 5 is the show. That was the fourth choice of Laura Critchley. What a great tune. We're all air guitaring in here, Laura. That's fantastic.
Brilliant. Such a tune.
I feel a little bit out of breath, actually, which is lucky. There's only two more minutes of the show to go anyway, so I can catch my breath afterwards. Just enough time left to say that if you want to see Laura Critchley, she is playing that gig at the Philharmonic Hall on the 30th of January next year in aid of Help for Heroes. So go to the Phil's website, or indeed Laura Critchley's website, or indeed Call Me Laura, and you can find out more about that. The object you're going to save is your dog.
It is. Yeah, it's got to be, hasn't it?
Brando.
Can't leave him in there.
No, actually, the rules of the show are that all living creatures are out safely, but it's nice. What sort of dog is he?
He's an English Bull Terrier.
Oh, fantastic.
So he's got a huge nose. It's like the dog off Oliver.
You know, that must be tough to have a dog when you're sort of touring and going places all the
time.
Came
with the man.
Right.
That's the only thing. You see, as soon as I got the man, the dog came with it.
Yeah.
And I embraced it as one of my own.
Oh,
but
that's nice.
It's just like my dog now, because I just love him to death. Yeah, so
you got like joint custody.
Yeah. God knows what'll happen if we split up.
Well, let's hope it doesn't happen. There'll be lawyers and all sorts.
But he's brilliant. He's off his head. I've just become a big fan of Bull Terriers in general. We've done a bit of stuff for Bullies in Need as well. Which is a great charity if you're trying to get dogs placed in.
Is there a
homes.
Charity just for bulldogs now?
Bull Terriers, English Bull Terriers.
My God, there's a charity for everything. Have they got one of those wristbands?
I hope so. I don't know.
If they haven't, you should make them, and you should make them in dog size as well.
They're just such funny animals. I've never met a dog like, you know, that breed. They're tearaways. You know, it's just like having a two-year-old constantly everything.
That is a fine object to save. Laura, I hope you come back next time you're in town, and we'll stick you on the Roy Basnett show or something, because there's so much we haven't spoken about. We haven't spoken about the Sugar Babes who you used to tour with. Well, some of them anyway. Everyone's been the Sugar Babes.
Haven't spoken about my sex change. Or...
I know. Yeah, that's going well. You're looking excellent.
It's going good.
You'd never notice the line. It's absolutely fine. So we'll get you back on, and we'll talk about the other stuff. But there's only time really to say, what's your last song?
Okay. My last song is a song by Foreigner.
Yeah.
I love me cheesy 80s ballads. This song is just so passionate. You know, it really is. It's just a corker of a song. Also, Mariah Carey has just covered it and brought it out, and I am a big Mariah Carey fan. You wouldn't believe it, would you? Because she's the opposite of rock.
It.
But I loved her early stuff in 1992. That's what made me want to sing.
Good range.
It's good range. So, yeah, that's why I picked it, really. I love this song, and it's got a little link to Mariah. So, this is I Want to Know What Love Is.
Fantastic. Foreigner, I Want to Know What Love Is a song we're going to finish the show on. Laura Critchley, thank you for joining me on Take 5.
Cheers, Will.
And if you enjoyed the show, stick around and listen to Peter McDowell. And I am back tomorrow at 2 with the Liverpool actor, star of stage and screen, David Morrissey. So that promises to be a good one as well. Have a great night. Hope you enjoy the football tonight. If you do go, not like Laura Critchley. And in the meantime, you can enjoy her final song, Foreigner, I Want to Know What Love Is.
Take 5 with Will Batchelor.